Hey, hey, and welcome to Hold My Popcorn, where we make fun of the good movies and trash the bad ones. I'm Max Healy in Nashville, and over in Boston, we got Tim again. How are you, Timmy boy?
Doing great, Max. Celtics are up by 18 points over the Toronto Dinosaurs, and that's good. That's a good thing, so I'm good as well.
Good. And in Northern California, recovering from a six-bottle, six-hour Zoom call last night is John Anoshak.
The best way I can describe this is by the alleged definition of Jumanji, which allegedly in Zulu means many effects. And right now I am feeling many effects. And they're all negative. It's all side effects. Not the good stuff. Just keep going. Leave me be.
All right. Well, we are in week three of our summer of 9 to 5 series, where we pick a movie celebrating their 25th anniversary. And this week we watched The Cautionary Tale of When Board Games Go Bad in Jumanji, directed by Joe Johnson.
Jumanji!
Starring Robin Williams, Kirsten Dunst, Bonnie Hunt, Bradley Pierce, Jonathan Hyde, and David Allen Greer. Before we get into it, I gotta say, I haven't seen this movie since I was a little kid, and it was a lot better than I thought it was gonna be.
It's a good movie. Abby and I watched it like a couple months before we decided to do it, and we really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an adventure movie. It's like littered with plot holes, but I was not anticipating any kind of like deeper emotional pathos or trauma with the characters. The Big Game Hunter is pretty much just an analogy for all of Alan's insecurities and like all of his deepest fears. And they're just like manifested into a guy that looks like his dad that like calls him like a sniveling disappointment and tries to kill him.
Exactly.
Wow. You went way deeper into this than anyone should.
You know why, John? It's because I'm drinking a Celsius energy drink. That's why, which is our sponsor this week.
Celsius energy drink.
Celsius. I'm drinking a sparkling watermelon.
Celsius.
My wife, Nikki, it's really good. My wife, Nikki, loves these, so I reached out to them, and they gave us two free cases. So the next couple episodes are going to be brought to you by Celsius.
So does it make you feel more, I don't know, socialist by the moment, like as you drink it, because that's a whole nother measurement system for heat. It's intense.
I don't know. It's definitely improved my vocabulary. That's for sure.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, that's a good way to warm up. Celsius. It sounds tasty as fuck.
How does it make you feel, Max?
Amped.
I'm fucking just amped on life. Juice.
Riddled with caffeine. Fucking great.
But no, ye of little faith, how did you think this movie wasn't going to be good? It's Robin Williams. Like, if you have a recovering cocaine addict who can also, like, reenact, like, any of the personalities bouncing around in his head, I'm down. It's always going to be deep, whether or not they intended it to be or not.
Agreed. All right, should we get into it?
Let's do it, man.
Okay. Movie opens up in 1869 with these two horrific child actors stiffly burying the Jumanji game. What happens if they open it? May God have mercy on their soul. Lightning bolts.
Yeah, they were definitely Confederates.
I did not remember this opening at all.
It was strange. It was really strange. They didn't even have board games back then. We hadn't even invented the box yet in that year. Like, what how did they manage to get this? Oh, I don't, no. We're not going down that path. I don't want, no. I just realized where it leads me when we figure out where this board game really came from. Jumanji, Jungle, Drums, 1860. No, we're not going down that path.
I mean, right. They were burying this thing in New Hampshire.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Which is, let's be honest, like John's point about the Confederacy is correct. New Hampshire was a Confederate state. A lot of people don't know that.
Especially Keene, New Hampshire. Big time Confederate town.
Yeah, exactly.
All those Robert E. Lee statues they have in town.
Is that the live free or die state?
Yes.
In New Hampshire? Oh, my God.
Live free or die hard? Yep.
Founded by the Quakers. Definitely not populated by Quakers anymore.
Nope.
Oh, they're well armed up there. Friend of mine, Max, he's actually going to be in the wedding with you, Craig. He was like, should I go on this like Trump boat rally up in New Hampshire? And I'm like, no, you shouldn't do that. He's like, but the boats that I'm going to be on are really nice. I'm like, that is not a good reason to do that.
You know what's not nice? COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In getting it.
Right. In the name of also, Donald Trump.
I've heard that that the strains of COVID that have mutated in, you know, my home state of Tennessee, where Max now lives, have actually mutated to, they give you the side effect of racism too. So you got to be really careful about catching COVID from a Trumper.
So Donald Trump's had COVID for the whole time then.
He's always had COVID.
He's patient zero. Yeah. That's the conspiracy. Oh, wait, sorry, guys. We're getting too political.
Yeah, don't get political, guys. Come on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. All right. Then you cut to 100 years later to this young lactose white trust fund dork, Alan Parrish, getting his ass kicked by several bullies in front of his dad's shoe factory, followed by him finding the Jumanji game in a nearby construction site.
I was really confused. So, like, where you had forgotten about the 1869 scene, I forgot about this kid. I was like, wait a second. Wait, what? I was like, I thought it was a different kid that is more recognizable. What the fuck? And why is it? It's like the 60s? What the fuck?
Yeah. Would have been hilarious if it was like Jonathan Taylor Thomas in his beautiful tool time golden locks.
Just goes right into the game.
Yeah. I love the dad. He's like, go out there and get your ass kicked, son. You pussy. Dad, they have crowbars and tire irons.
I did not realize that there were six of them. Yeah. I thought it was just
roll
one kid.
Roll up your cardigan. It's fisticuffs, young boy. Let's go.
Also, this is 1969, and one of the kids chasing him in this New Hampshire town was black, which is just like the most unrealistic thing in the world. Well, I'm pretty sure that, that wouldn't be realistic nowadays.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because David Alan Greer is one of the workers, and he's friends with Alan. I'm like, just bring out the black guy. Just take him outside. All the kids will just run away.
Yeah, exactly. But then the sheriff will come.
That's why he's a cop now, just so he won't get arrested and beat up.
Once again, New Hampshire was part of the Confederacy.
So why did they, it almost seemed like they were going to go with a pattern of every 100 years, this box decides to get its shit dug up. Because it's 1869 and then it's 1969 and then all of a sudden 1995.
Yeah.
Did Alan break the cycle?
Oh, fucking no. I was just going to say, you want to go back to politics. I feel like this is like Alan could have been the Barron Trump story. Like he wants to escape his father's name because he's just like constantly getting bullied, and his dad's solution is just to ship him to like a rich boarding school and live in a dorm that's named after his family.
Good God, your wife is right. You are obsessed with Barron. What the fuck? Why are you bringing him into the show? You don't get to bring him into the show unless there's
nobody
a group
can
vote.
Yeah, we can attack the Bush kids and the Obama kids, but leave Barron out of it.
That's just how the Northeast rich parents show their love, Max.
By shipping
them away. You so much that I want you to be so really far away from me.
I love you so much that I don't want to see you until Christmas.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
We've really hit some serious points in Northeastern culture. We've already witnessed what courting in the Northeast looks like when Preble screams at his girlfriend, or is she now betrothed? Girlfriend.
No.
And now we get to see how the parents show that they love you. Get the fuck out.
Get out.
Exactly.
The fuck out.
So Alan plans on running away when Sarah Whittle, the girlfriend of the main bully, invites herself in and hears a faint drumming sound coming from the board game. So they decide to play, but it's a trap.
Okay.
And Alan gets sucked into the game while Sarah gets attacked by a bunch of angry bats. Go ahead, Tim.
few things here. First of all, Sarah is not the girlfriend of the bully. Sarah obviously wants to be the girlfriend of Alan, showing up at his house like some trollop at 9 p.m. And second of all, she is like a foot and a half taller than he is. Yes. How is this working out?
I don't know.
I've witnessed that relationship before. When I was in, it was either middle school or high school, there was a boy that started dating a girl. The girl was taller, and he would get upset when they went to go see movies because she wouldn't put her arm around him.
She wouldn't put her arm around him.
Yeah, so he would get upset about that. And she was equally as confused as anybody else would be, like, what?
I love it.
They're doing the slow dances. His arms are around her neck.
It's his feet just dangling. So yeah, that's how that relationship works. Put it this way, it's not sustainable.
I was gonna say too, like the girl that plays Sarah is just, she's not good looking enough to be a young Bonnie Hunt. But then she grew up, and Nikki actually knows who she is. She's a like a big Broadway actress. She did. She was the lead on the original Hairspray and Legally Blonde shows.
So she's talented.
Laura Bell Bundy. That's her name.
What?
Yeah.
Why are we commenting about the beauty of a 16-year-old? She was a kid.
She was not 16. She was way younger than that.
No, I don't know. She just had like that squished like pug looking face. I'm like, ugh, you're supposed to be Bonnie Hunt? Who's this
she's
creature?
A fucking kid.
It's Golem. All right. Well, then we take our third time jump, 26 years later, with a woman who played Frasier's ex-wife moving into this decrepit parish mansion with her orphan niece, Judy, and Peter, played by Kirsten Dunst and Bradley Pierce.
Was the plan to flip the house?
No, the plan was to have a B&B.
Huh.
Yeah. She's like, this area, remember, like, she was like, this area could do great with a B&B. This area is essentially like a rundown mill town.
Yeah, this area.
No one lives in it anymore.
You know what I want to do? This is just a Massachusetts joke, but if I want to get Airbnb, I definitely go to Brockton. That's my number one spot to go.
Yeah, exactly. Go to Brockton, pick up some heroin.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this town is Brockton.
95% of the listeners have no idea where that place is. You have to go into detail now.
All right, so Brockton was like an affluent shoe mill town in like the 40s and 50s, and then all the factory business just went out, and like the whole town became like bankrupt, and now it's just like a big drug, and I don't know. It's just not a good place.
Yeah, it's an underprivileged town.
Tim could explain better. Yes.
It's an underprivileged town. Let's just put it that way. Max is correct about it. At one point, it was a very affluent, you know, big city kind of.
Do they have seagulls?
Do they have seagulls? No.
Yeah. Oh.
Not anymore. They shoot those things and eat them there now.
They got
plenty of broken glass, though, because when we used to play baseball there, I remember I was playing center field, and I told the right fielder, I said, don't dive. And he said, why? He said, like, look over here. And it was just nothing but shards of glass in the outfield.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, don't make any dives today.
Oh, my gosh. Intramural sports in the Northeast. We're getting into it. Broken glass, parents telling you to get the fuck out and screaming at significant others. This is great.
So the kids follow the same faint drum beat into the attic where two more pieces magically stick to the board. So they have to roll the dice. Where they're attacked by a massive mosquitoes, followed by their kitchen being attacked by a bunch of monkeys.
They are inappropriately reacting to these things. Like the mosquitoes came through and they're like, yeah, I guess there's big mosquitoes around here. And I'm like, those were gigantic 6-foot long mosquitoes. And they're just like, well, I guess that's the way it is. Oh, there's monkeys. I don't know. Like what the fuck?
It is New Hampshire.
They are acting like they weren't actually there when they were filming it.
Right.
Because they were horrifically CGI'd in.
Oh, well,
these monkeys look like shit.
Yeah.
The kids didn't understand the concept.
No.
So we're just supposed to sit here and just kind of like act surprised. Yeah, like they're actually in here. What do you mean? Well, we're going to CGI it in. What does that mean?
What's CGI mean?
What is that?
Like Jurassic Park. That wasn't real.
Okay, Kristen Dunst, it's so much easier to work with Drew. She's already fucked up an acid when she comes in. She gets it. We need you to get it. Get with it, kid. Come on.
Kirsten, by the way, John. Also, these monkeys have the same faces as the aliens from Tim Burns Mars Attacks.
Yes.
They look just like them. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
The monkeys are the like the tiny kind of like insect aliens from Men in Black. Like,
yeah, I was thinking
just
that too.
Just sort of like background, background funny guys in the movie. It's very, it's very fun. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, the worms. Yeah.
Yeah, the worms. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. Ah, shit. Shit. I got some water. Get the cigarettes.
All right. After this, the board game says that everything will go back to normal once the game ends. So Peter rolls a 5, summoning a lion. But then a larger, much hairier monkey appears and traps a lion. Wait, that's no large monkey. That's Robin Williams as an adult Alan. And he was able to escape the game because Peter rolled a 5.
What year is it?
What year?
He's the best, Robin Williams, at just the alarmed screaming, just like,
help is on the way. Oh, boy. Yep. And then you get the monkey carjack scene where David Alan Greer, who's now a cop, gets his cop car stolen.
I have to say, this whole scene with David Alan Greer getting his cop car stolen like this deserves it. You don't leave your cop car like on it. That's not how a real cop does it. All right. A real cop gets out of the car with his shotgun, finds the closest minority and just starts shooting. Okay. And that's how they do it.
Oh, I'm that sorry, is how police work again. Is done.
Yeah.
Case closed.
Right. It was his first week on the New Hampshire police force. Okay. You know,
right.
He didn't understand that policy is shoot first, questions later.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's reasonable, Jen.
That's what I'm thinking. But he really doesn't get with the program the entire movie, especially when there's a man walking around with a fully auto assault rifle, just shooting at stuff for no reason.
That is New Hampshire. I'm pretty sure it's my brother. Pretty sure he has like 20 AR-15s. So, I mean, that whole hunting thing is just my brother. who lives in New Hampshire.
So this is one of the first instances where you get some surprising emotional feels. You got Alan finding his dad's factory abandoned, and then he learns that his dad spent like the entire family fortune trying to find his son. It's just, Robin Williams is just, he's so talented. Like, he's so good at making you laugh, and he's so great in these kids' movies, but then also, like, he's so good at just the nonverbals, like, just the sadness behind his eyes, because that's all you can see since he has the beard.
Well, I was surprised. Robin Williams is a fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like Robin Williams is now getting his just due. Like, most people really realize how incredible he was. A lot of people, a lot of people were like, you know, well, Robin Williams stole a bunch of jokes when he's a stand-up. It's like, all right, well, Robin Williams is a great stand-up, joke stealing aside, and he's also a fantastic actor. Mm-hmm. Most people aren't that talented.
Yeah, I mean, also, he's like, one of a kind.
When people single out jokes in his stand-up routine consists of rapid fire, no less than like 2,500 jokes just strung right. together. So like, it's just, he just, like, that's his stand-up. It's hilarious, but yeah, okay, so maybe he accidentally stole a few because he was coked up out of his fucking mind.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Also, yeah, joke thief, that's fine, but also just look at Hollywood in general. Every single movie is a ripoff of something else, so.
Yeah.
Like this, I mean, this alone, this was a book before. Like, there's no originality in Hollywood, so.
Especially nowadays. Whatever. Jesus Christ.
I know. Yeah, now we're going to be on our fourth Jumanji movie now in the last, like, 5 years.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That really fits the characters from the previous movies.
God. You know, Frank Sinatra didn't write his songs, and I'm dead inside. So,
Yeah. All right. Then you get the mosquito attack in the car, which is definitely one of the scenes that I still remember as a little kid. It's very visceral.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pokers.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of just like a human thing, like bugs in general. Like, bugs really, you know, like, creep us out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially the big ones that can carry off into the trees. That's
right. Exactly.
I don't want to see the ending to that movie.
Yeah. Then Alan gives himself an extreme makeover and no longer looks like Forrest Gump going on 2 years of running across the country. So
I was running.
I just felt like running.
Jedi. Jedi.
That would be hilarious if this was Forrest Gump.
Almost was. So
Alan was Forrest
Don't
Gump.
Don't touch the bugs, Jenny.
I'm going to do a casting what ifs later, but Tom Hanks was the original first choice to play Alan.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would have like been
that could have worked. Yeah.
For sure.
Tom
definitely.
Hanks can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the closest thing to Ron Williams now.
Yeah.
As far as just universally loved.
Yep.
Yeah.
I missed having like the universally loved, but also used to be bad boy though. That was the thing. It's like, you always had Robin's dark side in the background there, where it's just like, at any moment I could just inhale an entire kilo of cocaine and relapse and it would be just as great.
I'm pretty sure there are many moments where he did that.
Yeah, he did.
I bet those snaps on set were awesome, where it was just like, Aah! You just see him tear off and just come back just covered in baking powder.
Didn't he relapse on the set of that movie in Alaska where he was a serial killer?
Yeah, Memento, the Chris Nolan movie.
No, the one with Al Pacino in it.
Yeah,
that's Memento. Or?
That's Memento.
No,
Memento.
Yeah. No, that's not Memento. That's what's the name of that movie? Insomnia.
Yeah, Insomnia. Oh,
gosh. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he relapsed up there.
I'm pretty sure he did too.
Tim, you almost managed to trick Max's weird ass brain into not remembering a movie fact, dude. We almost got him.
But then I drank more of that Celsius, this delicious, sweet, savory Celsius, and got my brain power back working.
And it immediately cured him of his insomnia.
You know what cures insomnia? Energy drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like sitting down with a cup of just nice, cold, bubbly Celsius in the morning.
All right, so in order to finish the game, they need all four players as we meet the adult Sarah, played by Bonnie Hunt.
Bonnie Hunt with a weird, like, front rat tail in her
hair. That was weird. Yeah.
You guys notice that? I think it was because she's like a fucking hippie. Perfect. This is a perfect scene, though. A perfect fucking scene. Because she's like, immediately calls her. It's so funny when she calls her psychologist. Like, your therapist. You know that thing we've been talking about for 20 years that you said wasn't real?
I'm having a conversation in his living room right now. He's looking at me.
Yeah.
That's fucking call me back.
What would have been hilarious if they got her coming out of the therapist's office and, like, she was like, all right, fine. I admit it. This is my breakthrough moment. That didn't happen. He died. What really happened is that he died, blah, 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 blah. He gets sucked into a board game. And then all of a sudden she walks out and it's Alan.
Just staring at her, blinking.
Hello.
Again, another like surprising example of, you know, because like Sarah, she yells at Alan about how the game ruined her life and Alan's yelling at her. It's like, you were supposed to roll a 5 or 7. You never came back. And she's like, the bats chased me down the street. I was a little kid. I was afraid. And then, you know, like, you don't know what it was like after you left. Like, everyone called me crazy. I was a crazy girl. You know, nobody went to my birthday. I've been talking to a psychiatrist for years. I changed my name. I'm like, oh, this is a little extra trauma there.
In fairness, cry me a fucking river, Sarah.
Granted, you didn't move out of town, but okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, you have Rob him do that. He's like, what the fuck? 26 years.
Like, well, I agree. In the jungle. I agree with Alan there. Yeah. Like, I've been literally stuck in the Congo / Serengeti for 26 years.
Like, nobody went to your birthday party.
Yeah, oh, no one's my birthday party.
I have a guy that looks like my dad that's been trying to kill me for 26 years.
With a blunderbuss.
With a blunderbuss.
But also, again, like, you know, because Ron Williams, he's pretty much a 12-year-old who's been stuck in the jungle. So she's like, you know, self-identifying all of her like psychological issues. And then Ron Williams in the background, you can just hear him saying, I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, Alan tricks Sarah into rolling. He like, you know, stretches his hands out for her to give him the dice, and then he just lets him go through. So she rolls and gets this big ass plant. And then Alan rolls, and you get the big let me just do this part over. I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about.
Tentacles.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, he Alan tricks
fly trap.
Yeah, you get the big fly trap after Sarah rolls that, and then Alan rolls and gets the big game hunter, Van Pelt, who immediately goes on a suburban shootout across town.
I'm not into tentacles and vines. I saw that horror movie called, like, The Ruins or whatnot years and years ago, and it's, dude, fucked up. I'm not ever going to be killed by vines. Max, if I ever get attacked by vines and you're there, shoot me. Just shoot me.
What's that plant? I think it's in like South America or something. It smells like decomposing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Damn it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I feel like that plant in Jumanji is a cross between that plant and a Venus flytrap.
Yeah. It's basically an evil Pokemon. I mean, it's really fucked up.
Oh yeah.
And the little Shop of Horrors plant too.
Very rapey Pokemon. Yeah.
You need like a mega Pokeball to capture that thing.
Oh, dude, you need to go to the ultimate Pokeball for that. But the mega ones are great, though, because that's how big I want my balls to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You need a mega one when it's Bulbasaur, but you need a much bigger one once it matures, transfers into wherever the fuck it's called.
Listen, you're not catching Zapdos with like a regular Pokeball, okay?
Nah, dude, the legendary birds are super difficult, man.
Oh, yeah.
Talking right Pokemon.
Speaking of 95, this is actually right in with theme, Max, so you shut up.
Also, okay, going back to the gun guy, though, perfect double standard of gun culture in white America, because this hunter who's armed, he walks into the gun shop for more bullets, And the clerk just gives him this like Broforce bazooka sniper rifle without any sort of waiting period because he just threw a bunch of gold coins at him.
Yeah, this random British guy in turn of the century colonizer gear walks into a New Hampshire gun store and is like, "What can I get for you, buddy?"
Whoa, those bullets went out of circulation back in 1906.
Yeah, I ain't sniffing something wrong here.
Hold on, are those South African coins?
Yeah,
close the shop. We're closing early today.
No, basically, he just happened to find the one shop owner who was still super bitter about getting off of the gold standard, and was like, "Man, after my own heart, solid gold. Let's fuck." I liked his wife too. She's like, "All right, Bertha." She's got four arms like bigger than my head, like buffing a gun.
Well, I mean, honestly, New Hampshire, that is New Hampshire, right? Like, I don't even think to get a gun in New Hampshire, unless it's like a handgun, you just walk in. I want that one. They're like, "All right, here you go."
Yep. Same thing in Tennessee.
Like, yeah. I don't think you need like a background check. I don't think to get certain guns up there, I think you do, but I don't think you need anything up there to just get a gun.
They get the gun that he got. You definitely need a background check. You also need like a psychological exam to have a gun like that.
You would hope that in order to get a gun like that, you would need an army uniform and a rank.
You need a declaration of war.
Yeah. But in New Hampshire, I don't think you need such items to procure like a semi-automatic Tommy gun AR-15 crossover.
God.
I just have this image of him just like kicking in the door to like a fucking bar down the street thinking that Robin's in there with this new gun and just be like, "I'm here to eat mac and cheese and shoot shit. And I don't even know what mac and cheese is." Like,
"Now that you know my mac and cheese."
Like, that's his psychological profile when he walked in with the rifle to begin with. Like, nope. Do not pass go and collect $200. Dude, get the fuck out.
I don't have time for a waiting period. I want to kill this guy now.
Hold on, buddy. We'll get you out of here. We'll get out of here, you murder. Okay, let's just hold on here.
It's like that Simpsons scene with Wiggum. Like the guys, like they're doing like a police training, and this one guy's like, "Enough talk. When do we get the freaking guns?" And Wiggum just goes, "Hey, I've already told you. I'm not giving you a gun until you give me your name." Pretty much the same thing. All right, back to the game. And you get a big stampede that plows through the house, followed by this shithead pelican stealing the game.
Dude, it's always a fucking pelican. Why are pelicans such assholes? Throughout Hollywood history, Pixar universe, they always are just like, they just eat shit. And their gullets are so large that I don't find them trustworthy.
Because pelicans are gluttons. Pelicans swoop in with their fucking dumb beaks, pick up
pull
all
a bull mouth.
Yeah, all those fish. Tons of fish. That's more fish than they can eat. That's more fish than they need.
Yeah. Save some of those fish for Timmy.
Yeah, exactly.
And me. God damn it.
Where is the serial killer from fucking Seven? He needs to be fucking killing pelicans.
Well, thankfully, Peter monkey hangs off this branch and retrieves the game, but then he tries to cheat, and he turns into a Robin Williams monkey boy hybrid.
Honestly, pretty cool. You got a tail, dude. I mean, I wouldn't want to go back.
I love how they have a scene later where it's almost, so it's not like a parent and like a boy, you know, being like, "Okay, we have to talk about the birds and the bees, son," because the boy gets like his first erection or something. In this case, it's, "Oh, we have to pull your tail out." And he's like, "Yeah, do you want to talk about it?"
"No."
So is it hard? Is it hurt?
"Yeah."
Oh, okay, well, hold on. We're just gonna rip it out. Like, thank God that wasn't a dick. But like, still, I mean, there was this really weird, like, parent-to-child conversation about the tail, which I was like, that could be a dick.
Well, before that, it's because he's crying because it hurts, and Ron Williams thinks that he's crying because he's a monkey, and he gives him all this, like, you know, tough monkey love, and he's like, "Oh, my God, I'm turning into my father." And then he's like, "No, I'm not crying because of that. It's just my tail hurts."
Yeah. Ron Williams is like, the kid's like, "Get over yourself, dude. No. I have a fucking tail stuffed up my ass."
So then Alan tells Sarah and the kids that they need to stick together. And then he immediately jumps into Carl's cop car to avoid getting shot by Van Pelt.
Yeah.
So during all this chaos, Van Pelt steals the game, but then they get it back at the discount store after the kids set up these Home Alone-like booby traps while Alan crashes a cop car directly into the building, knocking out the hunter.
fantastic. So this is like home. You said it, Lana. It's like Home Alone. It's fantastic, right?
Yeah.
The fucking laundry detergent, the fucking air tanks, great. I mean, honestly, it's like the only thing that was missing from this is the brutal murder of Van Pelt by one of the kids with like a javelin they found in the sporting section.
I was going to hope that they would just push his head down into the paint and drown him in paint. Just until the bubble stopped.
Yeah.
You know?
Could you imagine if that move, if this movie took that turn?
Ron Williams just goes total like fucking Tarzan mode. Just like crouched over with his like foot like into his, the back of his head.
Saying like the most brutal things in the world to him.
This is Jumanji!
Tonight we will eat him. Celebrate our victory.
Juice!
Just rips off his arm. Like, oh my god, Alan, what happened?
Survival of the fittest, children. Take notes.
Yeah, they find out that Robin Williams is actually a cannibal in this. Because like all there's like 10 other people who got sucked into Jumanji whose games haven't finished, and Robin Williams just ate them all while he's in there. He's like the survivor.
It's like, yes, finally. A bigger that's playing field. Games
should have been.
the most dangerous game.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he just becomes Van Pelt. That's the whole story. It's just every single Van Pelt, like you, the kid transforms into Van Pelt after you kill the other one.
Oh. That's not a bad short story there, my man.
Yeah. Mm. Huh. Here you go.
We're all Van Pelt in some ways, right, guys?
We're all African safari hunters in the turn of the century and in our hearts, right?
I mean, when you're out there hunting for them yabos, yeah, I suppose so. So,
It's a real safari jungle expedition. Great winner. All right. So then during all this chaos, let's see, I already read that part. I also do love that David Alan Grier, he's putting oil into like his destroyed car inside of the store and he goes to shut the hood and the hood just falls off. and then he's just like, he has no door. Like they're all ripped off and he's just staring at the door ajar sign blinking. He's just looking at it.
The car is great comedy. His car falling apart is awesome.
And then eventually the wild just takes it.
Another car in 1995 that can just go the extra mile, no matter what. Like, we've got Godzilla, we've got gunshots, we've got monkeys. Like, how many movies have we covered with just, I mean, we've got jumping off of ramps through Central Park. Like, these things keep running.
Built in America.
America. Buick. That's the worst name. Buick. Sounds Buick. Like a slur for a dick. Buick. Anyways.
So then they head back to the house that's now been taken over by the game where Sarah rolls a 3 that leads to an indoor flood infested with crocodiles.
Yeah, that... Okay, so here's a lesson. Ron Williams corrects her and says that it's an alligator.
He corrects her
and
says it's a crocodile. She says
crocodile,
alligator.
Excuse me. Yeah. You know what I mean. Yeah. Everyone gets what I'm going for. I'm always wrong, but everyone, don't do what I say, do what I mean. Okay? Feel me? But... he has to correct her. You don't have to correct your significant other on everything. If it's a simple little slip up between a crocodile versus an alligator, you know what? They get that one. They get that one.
Yeah, you want to know what? That's not a simple little slip up. Crocodile, alligator, that's a big difference. Okay, you know what I mean? What are you, next thing you need to tell me, it's like, oh, that's a caiman or an alligator. It's no difference. John, come on. We have to get our reptiles, prehistoric reptiles correct here. Okay.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yep. Well, I mean, so it's a standards thing. Okay.
I want to know, is that a Nile crocodile? Is that a saltwater crocodile? Or is that a rare American crocodile only found in waters of Costa Rica and small portions of the Everglades?
Wait, we have crocodiles?
American crocodiles. That's correct. They used to be abundant, but we killed them all because we're great.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, in their defense, alligators don't hunt people. Crocodiles do actively hunt people.
That's correct.
But maybe those are just the Australian versions because that continent is like a video game. Everything is trying to kill you. It's just...
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the difference between crocodiles and gators, don't tell the University of Florida that, because I remember a couple of years ago, their media cover guide was a crocodile instead of a gator.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's just fucking Florida, though, dude. They're massive morons.
We're the Florida Gators. Here's our program. That's a crocodile.
Yeah. Where are the Florida dials? Turn up. Turn the dial. Turn it.
don't worry there. It's all just a variant. You know what I mean? On Noah's Ark, they got married. They had kids. That's what happened out of a crocodile, okay? What are you talking about, sir? Don't worry about it, okay? Go Gators.
Go Gators, go Dolphins. That's a shark. All right.
Okay.
Hey, man, it swims, okay. Right? They're all just one of God's great creatures. Let's not get particular.
So, I will say, gators taste awesome. They taste so good.
Yeah, they do. Deep fried gator. It's like chewy chicken.
Mm-hmm. Chewy chicken.
Yep. Knoxville sells it every single year. Whenever they play the Gators, they sell gator in the market for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's great.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it. Still.
So I guess during the scene, though, Robin Williams, he got like a little carried away when he's fighting the gator because there was somebody in like, you know, in a suit wearing that, and he like elbowed the guy too hard, and I guess he yelled. He went like, ow! during the shot.
Which is what a gator will say.
And then you got poor Carl, who's, you know, he's all excited to kick down like his first door, and then instead he's just greeted by like a riptide of angry water.
Oh my God, more angry water. Yeah, there was. So this actually did have some serious angry water, especially like when they were going up the staircase. That was passive aggressive water, actually, because it was just slippery enough to be an asshole.
I love Sarah being like, oh, I guess we're, you know, glad we're inside. What fucking game have you been playing this entire time, Sarah?
A bunch of elephants just came out of the fucking library.
Right. You think that this one is going to be different because you're inside?
So, speaking of elephants, a little bird gave me a fun fact that if you see...
Better not been a pelican.
No, this is all about an elephant's cock, Max. Don't worry. Calm down.
Okay.
If you see a male elephant's cock erect, it's basically too late and you're already dead. It's kind of like if you stumble across a grizzly bear, you know, like it's over. Like that's it. It's done. You know, kind of a thing. I wasn't really digging it. I was like, I looked at this little bird. I was like, what does this have to fucking, why don't one do the, she screamed at me like basically, John, it's important for the show because it involves a penis. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I do have to put that into the show. So there's your fun fact because it involved the dick and I had to talk about it.
Wait, your fun fact was just, what about the bird?
It wasn't anything about the bird. It was about elephants. I told you it was about an elephant cock, and if it's erect, then it's going to kill you.
Okay. Good story, John.
Okay, so if the elephant cock is erect, the cock will kill you?
Oh, good.
Well, it very well could. You know, it could, definitely. But that's not really what's going to happen. It's just going to step on you. It's going to step on you.
The elephant kills you, but the cock finishes you off.
Yeah, it's a sign of aggression, apparently.
It's the finisher touch, like in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next time if you go on a safari or whatever, just stay away from the ones that are erect because they will kill you. Is basically the moral of the story. So I fucked that all up. So let's just keep going.
I would say a good moral of the story is just to stay away from all erect animals and people for that matter,
including your fucking dog, Max.
Honestly, Max, what a tragic life you're going to lead if that's what you think. Okay. If you're staying away from all erect animals, I mean, come on. You're going to miss out on a lot of experiences.
Some good, some bad.
Yeah. Most bad.
Most bad.
The small goods outweigh the lot of bad.
Do we think that Bill's a chicken lover?
Let's say yes and move on.
Yeah. Okay. Do that.
All right. Back to the house, and thankfully the attic wasn't affected by the rain, so Alan rolls a 7, which traps him and Sarah in quicksand, followed by Peter rolling and getting a bunch of giant killer spiders.
Those things were fucking gross. I hate spiders, and those fangs were massive.
Yeah.
Fuck those spiders.
They were much more scary than the Harry Potter ones.
When those Harry Potter ones are fucking scary.
No, the Harry Potter ones are way more scary.
Ooh, I don't know. These ones with those little clampers, though. Ugh.
Ooh, yeah. When can we do arachnophobia?
Never.
I'm not. You guys can do that without me.
Absolutely not.
You guys can do that without me.
That word alone will turn off 1/3 of the audience.
Shit, I thought it was going to be erect elephant penises that would do it.
No, that attracts a different group of people.
Ah, yeah. Oh, okay.
We're going to get a lot of Chinese listeners off of that, I think. Bring on the hate mail.
I also like that, you know, Peter's told that there's an axe in the shed. So he goes to break down the shed lock with an axe. And then he realizes what he's doing. Just like walks back in the house.
Hilarious. Peter's a dummy. Fact of the matter, Peter's a dummy.
Yeah. A primitive monkey brain.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we're getting into the home stretch here. It's a lot happening. You got Monkey Peter axing the spiders. Judy gets attacked by a poisonous plant. And then Sarah rolls a 3, which causes an earthquake that splits the house in half.
I mean, listen, so this is sort of based on, do you think there are a lot of earthquakes in Africa? I thought that was an unrealistic thing. Okay. I don't think there's a lot of fault lines in Africa. You can cut that out, Max.
Just do me a favor.
But keep in the John story. Take out the earthquake tectonics in Africa in the plates.
That was a telling silence when I shut up.
Yeah, I was like,
you guys are just like, what?
We're just gonna leave the elephant cock in. We're gonna cover this up with cock.
Yeah, so you know, Alan, he has to face his fears. So, you know, moving on.
Okay.
He stands his ground, doesn't run away from Van Pelt. But, you know, Van Pelt, he's totally cool with that. He shoots Alan, but right in the nick of time, Alan's roll wins the game, sucking Van Pelt and all the animals back into the board.
I like how Van Pelt was, like, strangely proud of him. He's like, good, you've become a real man letting me kill you.
I'm proud of you. Yeah.
You know, I have to say what held up really, really well, surprisingly, was the shitty CGI on the vortex of, like, you know, the action of, like, sucking Alan in, sucking in the animals. Like, when it first happened, I was like, ah, it looks shitty. Okay. All right. We got it back. Good. Well done, guys. Well done.
Yeah. It was like the, never mind. I don't even know what it was like. For some reason, it made me laugh though watching that. But I think it was just the elephants that were trying to like run out of the vortex. I was sucking them in, just zebras and elephants and rhinos. It's just like everybody's coming through the window.
Yeah. That was actually kind of a cool shot. Where like it as was. The bigger animals start coming in, you know, more of the house wall gets like broken in because it's just big. And the nice little touch of seeing the hunter's face like blah, blah, and just like pop right back in,
plunge him in. And then Alan and Sarah, they transport back to 1969 for some reason, where Alan hugs his dad, who says, you don't have to go to that rich school if you don't want to. Okay, gotta go. And then he just leaves again.
Yeah, I like how the sort of like the almost the impetus for this whole thing happening is that Alan, like, they left angry, right? They were unresolved. And the dad, for like throughout the entire movie, was painted as this kind of like hard ass cunt bag.
Yeah, they accuse him of killing Alan. Yeah, burying him in the walls of the house.
In reality, he was a great father who just had like a moment of, you know, like a momentary temper tantrum, and so did Alan. And you realize the moral of the story, everybody: don't go to bed angry.
Don't go to bed angry and accept your death.
Yeah, and accept your death. Accept your death with grace and honor.
Except if it's via tentacles, and then ask your friend to shoot you. Accept that death. That's not a good one.
That's a bad one. Or if you get caught by one of the aliens in the movie Alien.
Yeah, that's also a bad one too. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah. That's one of the few times in which you can be a coward and just ask to get killed immediately.
I'm going to actually say that I recommend personally to be a coward all the time.
You know, if you're calling in a lifeline on the phone to take a bullet in the head, that's pretty good though. It's like, hey, you know what, we're not going with full suicide, but I'm on fire right now, you're gonna have to end this for me. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
bye
me.
Bye forever.
All right, and then you fast forward back to the present, where all the characters' parents are still alive, and Aaron and Sarah re-meet the kids, who I guess also remember them.
Yep. Kids remember him.
Yep.
Kids were born with a memory of some weird hairy guy.
26 years ago.
Rat-tailed weird woman.
Well, and then Alan...
Who waited 26 years to have a baby also.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then Alan Alan fucking just starts being like, oh, you're everything I remembered. And right in front of their parents.
Like, what are you talking about?
That's when Olivia Benson walks in. Dun-duns.
I was going to say, fucking Spotlight hadn't broke yet. We weren't prepared for that as a culture quite yet. So, yeah.
So you're telling me the African jungle came to this house and just absolutely destroyed everything in their sight? And then they got magically... And then they got magically sucked back into this ball game, and you went back 26 years, and then now we're back in the present, and the kids remember you for some reason? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. This all sounds believable. You know what doesn't sound seem believable? It's my wife's tits.
I feel like Ice-T would be far too focused on the tentacles if he was there on that crime scene. Let me get this straight. The tentacles went up his nose.
You do a better Ice-T accent than we do.
I know.
Yeah. You need to start doing that more, Jan. You do a really good one.
I base it off of respect must be paid. That's my favorite one.
It's for Lawrence Taylor. John's yeah. Lawrence Taylor voice is also his Ice-T voice.
It's the same one. And while I'm on that subject, children, don't do crack.
Don't do crack. And then do crack again with a hooker.
Don't do crack and don't play Jumanji.
And don't be friends with Mike Tyson. He'll bite you. He'll bite your ass. I had something there.
This ending makes no sense.
So when Alan and company come back, so they come back to like 1969 and they have all of their memories. We're like the children that they meet later, like they recognize them. Okay. But these kids were forced to grow up with the curse of being an adult and knowing that the world is shit. There is no way they turned out right. They would have been fucking serial killers.
It's also kind of like the kids in It, because I think Sarah says something like, I'm already forgetting what happened. And what we did. It's like, I know we did something, but I'm already forgetting what it was.
That's just PTSD. That's not magic.
It's repressed memories. You should know this. Yeah. You've had a lot of therapy, Sarah.
The monkeys!
Yep. And then I guess the movie ends with this board game, drums beating on a French beach. And then it just kind of fades out. I don't fucking know.
They kill the board with fire?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Burn that thing.
Burn kill that it with shit, fire. Chop it up with an axe. I mean, there's plenty of things to do with it.
Yeah, take all the board pieces and burn those.
Jesus, turn it into a, hollow it out, turn it into a humidor. I don't know what you're going to do. Do something.
Humidor smells like the jungle.
This humidor smells like Robin Williams.
You open it and just Van Pelt's hand sticks out, gives you a cigar. You just close the humidor.
Hey, it's Robin Williams. Hey, here's a cigar. No, but getting back to the whole French thing, no French person's ever getting out of that game. They're too busy eating croissants, smoking cigarettes, watching terrible black and white movies. I mean, they're just too lazy to get it done.
I don't know, man. If you push the French to the extreme, every French person has the capacity to suddenly turn into a French foreign legionnaire at any moment and just go straight guerrilla and just kill everything around them. The French scare me.
Mm-mm. Until the Germans
come.
You're
the only person in the world that's ever said that, John.
Just like that Ron Williams joke. The Germans are coming.
I have been cursed up and down by an old Parisian woman before in the streets, and I've never been so scared in my life. So,
who's scarier, Russians or Parisians?
Russians.
I just don't get into knife fights with old ladies because they've seen some shit.
That's a good point.
Fair. All right. Should we move into our next segment?
Yes.
Math Blaster!
Before that, so we're going to get into our working title of stuff from 1995 that doesn't hold up today.
Do you mind, before we do that, do you mind if I take a pee real quick?
Yeah, I'll do the same.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Leave that in, though.
Leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane, I don't know when I'll be back again. My dick is really itching, I don't really like it anymore. My stay is on fire.
All right, should we get into the stuff for 1995?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, it's time for our working title, Stuff for 1995 That Doesn't Hold Up Today. I kind of forgot to think about this while watching the movie, so the only thing
math
I
blaster,
had was...
Math blaster, fuckers! Math blaster! We had to worry, we had to learn math on video games back then and shit. Now we just get to learn it. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Board games? Little kids playing board games, I guess? It's now everybody plays video games?
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, I would have played the fuck out of that board game, dude. That thing had a digital screen way ahead of its time.
So that actual board game sold for like $60,000?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Who bought that? What a dumbass.
Yeah.
You gotta have way too much money.
Yeah.
Also in 1995, much easier to get a gun. Way easier, it seems. Way, way easier. Even the paperwork that the gun shop owner slapped down on that was still a fraction of the paperwork that you should have to fill out to get a gun. A big gun, at least.
I'll fill it out for you.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Oh, you want the most dangerous rifle that we have. Oh, okay.
Sure.
Back in 1995, half those animals weren't extinct, but now they probably are because of global warming.
Yeah.
Accurate.
Oh, I'm sorry. And political. I don't want to be political about science.
about facts. Yeah.
You know, these pesky politically challenged science facts. You know what I mean? Like gravity and global warming. Right, guys? Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's for
We're
the birds.
We're all going to die.
All right. Well, let's get in some casting what ifs. So as already mentioned, the first choice to play Alan was Tom Hanks, which would have been good. Apparently, his son, Colin Hanks, has played the kid in the last two movies. Like he plays an adult, whatever the fuck the kid's name is in this. Alex, is it?
Really?
I don't know.
The name of this kid?
Most of the time...
Dude, fuck the kid. This kid sucks anyway. I don't want to say it, but...
Most of the time that you give casting what ifs, I'm always just like, what a terrible idea that would be. Tom Hanks wouldn't be bad. He would be good.
Yeah. But now I'm going to get into the other considerations, Tim, which would all be bad.
Okay.
So, all right. Dan Aykroyd.
Terrible.
Chevy Chase.
Also terrible.
Terrible.
Cocaine usage would have skyrocketed. They wouldn't have made budget.
Dude, oh, my God.
Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase. Yeah. Bill Murray. Let's see, who else? Sean Connery.
Bill Murray wouldn't have been bad. I would have been Bill Murray.
Good, yeah. Sean Connery just would have been slapping people.
He would have been the character from The Rock.
How could he have done it, though?
It would have been like 1869 when he got caught in the game.
No, but like, he's Scottish, and it was set in New Hampshire.
I don't fucking know. Maybe he would have been the big game hunter. It would have been a completely different movie or something.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. Let's see, Kevin Costner. That would have sucked.
Yeah, also
I don't want to see Kevin Costner cast in anything ever again. The fact that he was ever cast in anything annoys the shit out of me. Yeah.
Stiff as a board, monotone Costner.
Yeah.
He can throw a baseball. That makes it really... He can throw a baseball so emotionally.
God. He's an actor that can throw a baseball. He doesn't throw like a girl. Cast him in everything.
Kevin Costner... I mean, so he didn't ruin The Untouchables, but that's just because The Untouchables was a great movie and Sean Connery was fantastic in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've said it before. Yeah. The only movies that Costner is actually good in is our sport movies because he has like such a passion for it that he actually like goes above and beyond his usual like standard level of acting. But then everything else is just like, God damn it. Why is this guy? Why is he a thing?
All right, man. Time to do some good. With great lines like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really, they're lucky that he didn't sink The Untouchables. Holy shit.
Yeah. Richard Dreyfuss. Speaking of cocaine.
Jesus Christ.
Richard Dreyfuss.
God damn it.
Why don't I go to Brisbane when I have a shark right here?
It's right here. Do you see a size of this scar? She took my heart.
Michael Douglas. I think that would have been a much darker movie with him in it.
How could he have even like performed in that movie? He would just be giving Catherine Zeta-Jones cunnilingus the entire
time. Yep, just going down on Bonnie Hunt the whole movie. Yeah. Gets sucked into the game that way. I'm not done!
He would have been the actor to strangle the big game hunter or suffocate them under paint until the bubbles stopped. That would have been him. Just go down. Do it. Like, shh, really. Just like a super passionate strangulation, because I feel like he probably would enjoy killing somebody.
Yeah. It's already over. It's already over. Just saying that to him over and over again. All the kids are just like frozen in fear, staring at him, watching him do it. What?
Oh my God.
What?
Just as like drool just like goes down his beard. Whoa.
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. Yeah, I guess he'd be fine.
Yeah, it'd be okay. It'd be more of a Kevin Costner kind of a feel, though. Yeah.
A lot of mumbling. Mel Gibson.
What fucking year is it?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Would have been fantastic.
God
oh,
damn
my
it.
God.
Oh, that would have been. It's just rigs. Like, he's just like jumping just off rigs. Of like, just jumping off of the rooftops and just like hanging on vines. And
well, the funny difference would be is like when he went into the bathroom to go shave off his beard, he would have left his hair just cut enough to be a mullet and been clean shaven when he came
Or he would have come out of the jungle with that, like that weird, crazy gray Van Dyke beard that he has.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah.
Eyes bugging out.
Have I talked to you about HGH today?
You should have rolled a 5 or a 7, sugar tits. I was young. I was afraid. I didn't know what to do. You deserve a baseball bat to the side of the head.
What's your number? I want to leave you a voicemail.
Michael Keaton.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Terrible. Oh,
fucking God.
What year is it? What? What year?
Yeah.
It's the year. What year is it?
Imagine him fighting with the crocodile. Yeah. I mean, that would have just been it.
Okay. Hasta la vista, Van Pelt.
You know they would have had an I'll be back line in that movie, and then he would have just stared at the camera for like 5 seconds.
I think the only line he could have delivered better is like, there's one bad attempt at Robin Williams to act tough, like where he's like, I grew up in this, I'm only scared of what's out there. Like, that would have been good with Arnold. Like, I grew up in this, I'm only scared of what is out there. Like,
Also, though, if it was Arnold, that shoe factory would have been a completely different type of factory. Looks like the Jumanji board washed up on the shore of Alsace in the rain. Uh-oh. Yeah. Comes Arnie.
Holy shit.
I'm here doing a claim what's ours.
Is it true that when they were filming the first, the Barbarian or whatever, that Conan, they would have to stop filming because he would start talking to his biceps?
Oh, Jesus.
I call it Heinrich and Himmler.
Oh, Jesus. I know it's Stallone. I think Stallone's the one that says he talks to his biceps when he does curls. He just says, grow, as he does curls.
No, that's
he's like, it's all
that's
mental.
Him breathing.
Oh, my God. It's like he's talking to his grass.
All right. And then for trivia, I mean, I only got one here. The little kid, he also did the voice of Chip on Disney's 1991 Beauty and the Beast.
Huh.
Yeah, he was a little teacup.
I'm a little teacup, short and stout.
All right, so now we're going to be doing the box office game, rapid fire edition. So, John, how much did Jumanji cost and how much did it make? Rapid fire, go!
85 jillion and it fucking made 500 jillion, go!
Timmy, give me a number!
25 cents and it made 80 cents.
Cost 65, made 263.
Holy shit.
$2.63. That's great.
That's great. Good. Inflation's a bitch. Huh.
All right. Who is your favorite and least favorite in this?
Least favorite, without question, no doubt about it, Sarah. Get over yourself, honey. Fucking get over yourself. Jesus Christ. And my favorite, without question, are the monkeys.
So my least are actually, it's just the CGI of the monkeys is my least favorite. And then I'll say my favorite is the cop car. Tough as nails.
My favorite is the police officer and just like the wonderful pipes on him for his screams throughout the movie. Perfect.
He made some great facial expressions when he was getting like washed down the street and he's just like, yeah, man, dude, fuck this. And then he sees a crocodile and he's like, ah!
I know. And he like does it out of the bottom of his mouth too. It's amazing. I mean, just horror. Love it. So my least favorite was the pelican because fuck a pelican. It's wrinkly scrotum ass fucking pelicans. CGI pelican. Fuck off. I don't need that.
This game is mine.
Yeah. Greedy fucking. Nah. I'll take a seagull any day.
Also, going back to Carl, when those wild plants finally take his car, he just goes, take it. Just take it. He's like so fed up at that point. Okay. So just how IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes have their own rating system, we decided to make ours. So what would you rate this one?
I'll give this, really what I have to give this is 182.57, erect elephant cocks.
God damn it, Tim. You just fucking, I was going to say that too.
Jesus cocks. That's a dangerous herd, gentlemen. You don't want to danger. You don't want to go near that many erect elephant cocks.
It's a cockle of elephant chicks.
All right. So we're just going to sit on the tree line as we watch them play tummy swords with one another in their natural habitat. It's quite violent.
A baker's dozen.
So majestic.
It's really bad, though. If one of the elephants manages to spear the other in the cock, the sheer torrent of blood that rushes forth from it is quite violent to behold.
What's your rating, John?
The sound of that door opening in the background. That's good. My fucking rating. No, I give this 1,995 stars out of, 2,000.
Okay. And I'll give this 500 gallons of angry water.
Yeah, that's a lot of angry water.
Yeah.
Also known as diarrhea.
Diarrhea. Don't let Rhea come in here and start fucking your day up, okay?
Okay. Do we have any social media shout-outs this week, John?
Yeah, we got a couple. All right, hold on. So let me pull the jelly out. Jelly spreading time, fuckers. All right, Clayton Griswold, thank you, motherfucker, for taking the time to let me know that bleach works on sneakers. Research ongoing. I'll let you know how that works out. I'm still trying to figure out if you're fucking with me, but we'll get there. I haven't put my cell phone into the microwave yet. Scott Booker, same thing. I was fucking rolling on the ground about those sneakers. It's just like the most America shit I've ever seen. Like, what are you, fucking pansy? Go buy new shoes. I was like, all right, touche. So that's definitely on my strategy outlook for the rest of the week when I figure if I can clean these things. April, we always love you. But by the way, I had some Canadian snacks the other day. I don't know from which side of the country, but it was like hickory sticks and some kind of like coffee snack bar thing out of Nestle. Golf clap. Shit's pretty fucking good. So I'm just going to keep going in with my questions then. So here's the question of the week, though. Folks, what fishing movie can we cover just so Tim and I can torment and abuse Max for 90 minutes?
Yes.
And the best part of it, is he's going to have to listen to it all over again when he goes through the editing process. So this is going to be really good.
John and I are going to do a super, we're going to start our own podcast, just like a really serious fishing podcast, just about tackle. And we're going to make Max edit it.
And it's going to be called Fishing Boys with a Z.
Yeah. Fishing Boys.
Boys. So on that same grain, apparently the best way to make a fly fishing lure is from human hair.
Yeah. I do it all the time.
Anyways, follow our shit on the Twit. We got at HM Popcorn Pod and Instagram at HoldMyPopcorn_podcast. Send in your hate, your love, your thoughts, all the shit. And definitely make sure that you send us something good about fishing. Make it as painful as possible for Max.
Yep, do that.
Yeah, floppy discs. Deuces, fuckers.
Yep, that's the show. We'll be back next week. Don't know if we're going to do a movie or a mini episode because I'm going to be out of town, but we'll find out.
Goodbye.
Deuces, yeah. God damn it, Max. You put the fucking music on again. I'm going to lose my mind. I left you an Easter egg during the pee break, by the way, Max. I hope you like that.
Oh, okay. Good. Hold on. I'm going to send you guys this thing. It's another Simpsons thing, but let's see. Where is it?